Blog Talk Radio.
To home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt his wonderful name together. I am so glad that you joined me on today, and I know that you're in for just another wonderful treat on today, as we're going to be talking about holiness. What is holiness? And so I want you to grab your Bible, come right on in, and make yourself right at home here at Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment, where we are looking at the word of the Lord and being blessed through what our Lord and Savior have prescribed for us as the people, the wonderful people of God. So why don't you come on in, make yourself at home. We're going to be looking at several passages of scriptures on today as we look at the wonderful and the blessed word of the Lord. Again, we're speaking and talking about what is holiness. And we're going to look at what the scripture said, and we're going to just be tremendously blessed as never before. You don't hear a lot of talking about holiness anymore, but guess what? Holiness is still yet right, and it's still yet relevant, and it is still yet God's prescribed way for his people. So let's take a look at the scripture. It's going to be Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 through verse 29. We're going to also look at verse 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 9 through 11. And we're going to look also at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 17, and we will speak those scriptures again in just one moment. But let us go hastily to the throne of grace and pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for being so good and kind unto we, your people. We recognize we can't do anything in and of ourselves. We roll our dependency over and on and upon you. We ask that you bless, Lord, we, your people, as we speak a word even to your people on holiness. Father, speak to us, Lord. Speak through us, Lord, for your people, and we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So it is as we look at Matthew chapter number 23, verse 25 through verse 29. And the scripture said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye may clean the outward side of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisee, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of greasy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor emulators, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, neither thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There's one other scripture that I'll read in your hearing. That's 1 Peter 3, verses 3 through verse number 5. It says, "Woe, who adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting the hair and the wearing of gold and or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornaments of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being subject unto their own husband." That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Now let's take a look at this lesson on today. It says, a songwriter wrote, "Oh, I want to see him, the look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. This old man have been sung, and this old song had been sung by the Christian for many years, and it is true that we do want to see him. Yet the scriptures clearly state that without holiness, we would not see the Lord. And you'll find that over there in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 14. What is holiness? And why is it so important? Does God really expect his people to live holy lives, or does he overlook our lack of holiness through his mercy? Let's look at Leviticus chapter number 20 and verse number 7. It says, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Holiness is an inward experience of God's grace and a separation from sin by a dedication unto God and fellowship with him. Holiness is more than being a moral person. It is being led and empowered and energized by the Holy Ghost. True holiness can be attained through God's Spirit dwelling in us. It can never be attained by fleshly means. Now, the Spirit of God is a spirit of holiness, for holiness is a direct attribute of God. To be holy is to be like God, to think as he thinks, live as he would live, talk as he would talk. Every God's very nature is holy. He is absolutely pure and morally perfect. The Lord Jesus left the impression upon those who knew him intimately that he was pure and holy. He was the perfect example of a holy life, true, loving, humble, and kind. We are to live a life of holiness that reflects and resembles his life. We must put on Christ. We must be clothed with his presence so that we may live separate and separated from sin and ungodliness, and be dedicated unto the Lord our God. Let's look further into the word of the Lord. I want to read in your hearing also a scripture that we talked about just a few minutes ago, and that was over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12 and verse number 14. And it reads on this. It said, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." So we see that holiness is critical for us as the children of God. Let's look further into this. Holiness involves a separation. Ezra chapter number 9, verses 1 through 2 says, "Now when these things were done, the prince came to me, saying, the people of Israel, the priests, and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abomination, even of the Canaanite, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Egyptian, and the Ammonites. For they have taken of the daughters up for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the prince and the ruler have been chief in their trespass. Now, this book, the book of Ezra in the Old Testament, gives us an example, an excellent example, of what God expects of Israel concerning separation from the other nation, the people that lived around them. They were not to mix with them in marriage or to worship their God. God considered Israel his holy seed, and they were not to contaminate themselves by marriage to other people who was pagans. In the time of Ezra, God's holy seed had mingled with the people of the land, and in so doing, they had become partakers of the idolatrous abomination of the heathen nation. Ezra, along with all people, made a covenant with God to put away all foreign wives and the children that were born to them. What a terrible sight it must have been to see wives and children separated from their husband and their father. This tragic circumstances, however, was the result of disobeying God. It was necessary for the Israelites to separate themselves from those strange wives for the blessing of God to return. For Israel to be the holy nation that God desired them to be, separation from the ungodly nation and their paganism was necessary. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 23 through verse 25. And in those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your son for yourself. Now, in the book of Nehemiah, the results of disobeying God and the sin of incomplete separation from sin are clearly seen. The Israelites were losing their children to heathen gods. The children understood and spoke only half of the speech of Ashdod, and they could not even speak in the Jews' language. Israel saw no harm in allowing their young men to marry heathen women of nations about them, but they soon saw their children being given over to idolatry. God knew that Israel could not mix with pagan nation and stay true to him. Each time Israel tried it, they found themselves being led into idolatry. This is why God demanded separation on Israel's part. The holiness of God has always demanded separation between believers and unbelievers. Israel was to be separated into separate people unto him. They were to eat different food and to wear different clothing. They were to worship God in a specific manner and not worship idols, as did other nations. Everything about Israel's belief and lifestyle was to be different from that of other people. God gave them laws that taught a clear distinction between clean and the unclean, holy and the profane, and what was acceptable and unacceptable to God. And you can look at that over in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 47. Just as Israel was to be separated unto God as a holy people in the Old Testament, so New Testament Christians are to be dedicated to God and separated from the world with its ungodly deeds. God still demands his people both dedication as well as separation. As Israel was not to marry foreigners around them, Christians are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We are to separate ourselves from worldly affections and lusts. The child of God are to marry and to in accordance with the will of God to other believers in the Lord. In this way, they can, as a family, give themselves completely to God in his service without hindrance, without battling between one another, because they have been dedicated and separated unto God to do the work and the will of the Lord our God. Let's look at the old life. The scripture speaks of the old life as the life of sin, the life that we lived before becoming born again by the water and spirit. The old man, the carnal man, loves sin, and it does not understand the spiritual things of God. A sinner does not recognize or respect holiness or the things pertaining to God. In fact, the old nature hates the things of God. And to the old man, a holiness lifestyle is foolishness. His appetite is for sin and fleshly lust. But he is controlled also by and dominated by sinful desires. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through verse number 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And that's very critical for us to understand. Like I said, you don't hear holiness being taught as it was before. It is impossible to be holy while living a life of sin. The old nature does not understand and cannot force himself to be subject to them, and cannot understand the things that's pertaining unto God's holiness. A person cannot force himself to be subject to the things of God, which pertains to holiness. He is a lower nature, of a lower nature, or a fallen nature, one that hunger after sensual things of this world. The person who tries to live pleasing to God without the new birth or a separated life of holiness even deceives themselves. He cannot please God. His love for the world and what it has to offer conflict with God's demand of separation from sin. Let's look at the new life. Now, the new life is our life in Christ through the new birth, being born again, through the experience Jesus spoke of to Nicodemus in John 3 and 7. A person becomes a new creature or a new creation in Christ. Old things speaking of old life of sin are passed away, and all things have become new. When Jesus came into our life, he demanded a change in us. The Holy Ghost called us a separation from the old ways that we once indulged in while we lived in sin. The scripture John 16 and 8 says, "And when he come, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." When the new life of Christ comes into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, he separates us from sin. The Spirit of God, through his word, set boundaries and limitations to guide us and direct us. If we cross these lines of distinction, the Holy Spirit will correct us by the word of God. Popular ideas suggest that we can do whatever we wish, still God's mercy will cover us. By this thinking, we are saved in our own sin instead of being saved from our sin. God has always been merciful, gracious, and forgiving toward sinners, but he has never tolerated his people continuing to live in sin without pronouncing judgment upon them. God's call has always been, "Come out, be separated." See 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 18. Therefore, there must be a difference between the child of God and the sinners, between the world and the church. God is unchanging, and he still desires his church to be holy, separated people, a people who want to please him by living a separated life unto him. But his demands are not merely words. He has transformed us by his Spirit and placed a desire in our hearts to please him. Holiness is God's mark upon the lives of his people. Holiness of character and conduct is one language that can be understood the world over, and it is unmistakably a language of a godly life. Now, God draws a line of distinction between right and wrong, holiness and sin, the sinner and the child of God, the church and the world. We cannot serve the Lord and still love the things in the world. Child of God cannot indulge in ungodly activity of an unbeliever. There is a pronounced difference in lifestyle between the believer and the unbeliever. And it is upon these conditions that God receives us. His desire for us is that we will live so that our lives do not have sin, spots, or wrinkle, or any such thing. You'll see that over in Ephesians chapter number 5 and also verse number 27. And let's take a look at that so that we have a clear understanding what the word of the Lord is saying. And that's over in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 27. Let's take a look and see what that says, what the word of the Lord said. It said, that ye might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's take another look at another scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, child of God, we got to go on to perfection and perfect this holiness in our lives. Someone said that holiness was the least of God's standard. Holiness is at once a gift of God into our hearts and lifestyle that reflects that gift. The gift is perfect, but we have the taste of perfection and the gift of holiness in both our attitude or our spirit and our way of living, our flesh. Although we are not saved by holy lifestyles, we do know that we will not see him if we fall short in holiness. And you'll find that over in the Hebrews, again, chapter number 12 and verse number 14. And let's take a look at that, because God said, in all thy getting, get an understanding. We want to know what the word of the Lord is saying and what's required of us as the people of God so that we can adhere our lives, amen, unto God and the things he said, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And that's critical. If you want to see the Lord and see him in peace, holiness, critical part of our life in our spirit and even in our flesh. Paul encouraged us to perfect holiness in our lives as we live for God. Today is not a time to be less than holy or to relax in our lifestyle of holiness. The enemy would enjoy seeing God's people become less committed and for them to become slack in their dedication. The Apostle Paul emphasized the goal towards perfection of holiness, indicating that we must put forth an effort to become more like God in character and behavior. A child of God often to get as far away from the old life of sin as possible and be renewed daily in their spiritual walk with God. God never asked of us something that is impossible. When we received the Holy Spirit, he empowered us to live free from sin. The new life we live is a transformed life in which Jesus Christ is in us. He is the power of God in us to resist in us our effort to overcome the flesh, to overcome sin, and to overcome the devil. Now, God has placed in our heart a new nature, his holy nature. We now desire the things of God rather than the things of sins of our flesh. The old desire has passed away, and the Lord, by his Spirit, has placed new desires and new affections in our hearts. In the New International Version, it translates 1 Corinthians 7 and 1 this way. Since we have these promises, dear friend, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of the reverence for God. Because God is holy, the child of God should be holy as well and want to be holy. Holy in our body, which is the temple of God, holy in our spirit, both in action and attitude, should reflect God's holiness in a holy world. My God. Let's look further. Holiness also, it involves a change, an inward change. Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 28 said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you may clean the outward side of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse thou first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Now the Pharisees, they were guilty of hypocrisy. They worked diligently to look holy on the outside, but they were not holy in their hearts, or not even when they were in public. They dressed in a certain way so others would know that they were believers in God. They made sure that they prayed according to their customs so that they would appear to be religious. Their appearance and acts, however, was only an external, fleshly fakery, only a show and not reality. It was not difficult for Jesus and others to see through this facade of religious exercise. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their hypocrite, likened them to a tomb that was beautiful and clean on the outside, yet inside their hearts they were corrupt and evil. They were full of self-righteousness and evil thoughts. They were not holy. They only wanted to impress people that they could receive the praise of men. What they fail to realize is that the outward show is of no profit when there is no inward experience with God. Now, holiness involves a change of life, a change in a person's heart, and a change in the mind and spirit. It is impossible for a person to be holy, separated from God, and a heart changed by the Holy Spirit. This is possible. It is impossible for a person to be holy apart from God and a heart changed by the Holy Ghost. Someone may dress outwardly in such a way to appear holy, and yet without the true spirit of holiness, although he changed the outward appearance, he is the same corrupt, sinful person as before. Holiness is more than just the way we appear before others. It is a transformed nature that is reflected in the way we walk, our attitude towards others, our walk with God in our daily living, as well as conduct. All of them go hand in hand when it comes to holiness. To look all right to others is not sufficient, for we must also be forgiven of our sins and changed in our hearts if we are to be true holy people. Only a changed heart, a true born-again experience from God, will bring holiness to our hearts and conduct. It is the Spirit of God in us that causes us to love God, His Word, our neighbor, ourselves, and to practice the golden rule. Only through receiving and living by the power of the Holy Ghost can we know the true Spirit of holiness. Only when we are cleansed on the inside, my God, by God's Spirit, will our thoughts be godly and our lives be holy before God. When we are led by the Holy Spirit, we control both the desires and conduct of our flesh. In our new life in Christ, we do not live after the sinful things that once dominated our lives. New desires generated by the Holy Spirit govern us. And the more we follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, the more we become like God. Holiness, therefore, starts with an experience in our hearts. We cannot attain it in our own or merit it by our own discipline. It is the gift of God. But when God places the new heart within a believer, he becomes a holy vessel unto God. Now, let's look at an outward change. Let's take a look at that. Critical for us to know and understand. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 and verse through verse 21 says, "Now the work of the flesh are manifest, which are these: idolatry, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, and murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." You got to read that. That's Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through verse number 21. "In all thy getting, get an understanding." Holy Ghost, God in holy and is holy in his character and in all of his works. There is nothing about God that is not holy. Holiness is the very essence of God's character. It is impossible for him to be anything other than holy. Moreover, it is impossible for us to identify with a holy God without first being introduced to him through the new birth. It is the sinful nature of mankind that causes a person to follow after the fleshly lust. The works of the flesh are idolatry, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, wantonness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, contention, wrath, strife, sedition, which is rebellion, heresy, envy, murdering, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. These are the things that the carnal nature of humanity seeks after. For the child of God to demonstrate that he has truly been born of God, that he is partaker of God's divine nature, he must put away from himself fleshly lust. Now, let's stop here for just a moment. It's critical for us to take a look at what Galatians is saying, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19 to verse number 21. And when you see these things taking place in your life, it is required of us as the children of God to put these things away. Don't do them. Put them away. Don't put your hands to them. Put away them from yourself, fleshly lust. That is required upon us as the child of God. Empowered in and through and by the Holy Spirit, which is enabling us to put those things away, even as going down on your knees, asking God to give you victory over it, power over it, because that may be something that you find yourself indulging in, but you can go back to God, and through the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he will empower you and enable you, grace you, to be able to overcome whatever is in your life that's keeping you from living a holy and a separate life and dedicated life unto the Lord our God. Many are living a dedicated life, but they're not separated themselves from sin and the lust of the flesh. And they both go hand in hand. And that's why we need the Holy Ghost power to enable us to live a separated as well as a dedicated life unto the Lord our God. The salvation experience is going to change our desires. It will determine how we occupy this time. When our heart is changed by the Spirit of God, the lust of the flesh can no longer dominate a person's life. And that's why it's critical to get the Holy Ghost so that The spirit of sin, lust, will not dominate you, take control of you. Those that trying to come out or stop smoking, that thing is that is dominating you. You know in your heart that you don't want to do it no more and things, but there's enough power in and through the Holy Ghost to change that desire, that it will be holy and righteous unto the Lord our God. He will heal and cleanse that area in your life. All you have to do is go back to God and talk to him and tell him, and he will take that desire and cleanse and heal it and give you new desires towards God and the things of God and replace it with his nature in those areas of your life. That's why it's critical to be in Bible study. It's critical to be in prayer. It's critical to be in Sunday school. It's critical to be in worship. All of these things, reading that word, is going to cleanse us. It's going to wash us. If a child of God decides not to turn away from the sin after the undetermined time of grace and mercy, the Holy Ghost will not continue to abide in his life. The Spirit calls our bodies the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you'll see that over 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Our bodies must therefore be kept spiritually clean for the holy presence of God, for it to continue to abide within us. Child of God must cease to practice sins and to indulge in anything that would defile the temple of God. God demands that the inner man be made by the Spirit or change, and the result is an outward change of our behavior. The work of the flesh are works of unrighteousness. The scripture tells us that unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot continue to obey the lust of our flesh and still be a holy vessel unto God. The same spirit that changed our hearts and cleansed us from sin give us power to overcome fleshly desire. But we must choose to live a holy as holy vessels unto God. It's a choice. You got to choose to do that. He will enable and empower us. A miracle occurs each time God takes a person from sin and transfers them lives by the power of God into the saints of God. We who have once overcome and overtaken by the filthiness of sin of our flesh are now the holy people unto the Lord. After mentioning all the vile sins of the flesh to the Corinthians, Paul stated, "And such were some of you. Yes, many of them, as many as of us, were taken and enslaved by the manner of vices listed here. Every person, everyone have sinned and need to be changed in order to be saved. And thanks be unto God that we have washed, he has washed us from sin from the inside out and transformed the way that we lived in the world to living holy and righteous unto him. No longer do we indulge in the sin that once had us captive. Jesus has set us free. We welcome the change that occurred in our life, for it was not forced upon us. The change in us from sinner to saints gave us a great desire to be a partakers of God's holiness. The outward change in a person's life when he is saved from sin involves the way that a person lives, the way they take care of their body, the way they even dress, because their lifestyle is going to reflect their love of God and the things of God. So it's important that we must be sensitive to the Spirit of God, that we then dress in an effort to reflect his holiness and not our carnal nature. And that's very critical of us as the children of God. Now, even Paul, he spoke of the holy women of old. Paul mentioned of their manner of dress and their adornment. He referred to those who had their godly conduct, could win their unsaved husband to Christ, and even their unbelieving husband were see the purity and the reverence in their wife's life. It will cause them to respect his wife and draw near towards God. The holy woman whom Paul wrote did not dress in an unholy way, whether they won their husband by their godly and Holy Spirit that was seen in their modesty and their conduct. Peter did not stop with just the way holy women dress, but he wrote about their spirit and their attitude towards the living God. Now, it said when they see the purity and reverence of your life. Your beauty should not come from outward adorning. It should be that of your inward self, unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. That's what the New International Version says. What a priceless attitude it is when God is glorified in our spirit by a demonstration of holiness. When our spirit becomes one with his spirit, our only desire is to please God. Now let's continue on as we conclude here. Holiness involves a consecration. Paul encouraged the believers to present his body a living sacrifice to God in a holy manner. This was our reasonable service. Jesus Christ has done so much for us that it should not be too much for us to live godly in this present world. Holiness demands consecration on the part of the believers, who is to declare that this life is dedicated to God. A Christian is to live in holy fashion that will please God and not himself. All that we do should be done to bring glory and honor to him. We must allow our minds to be transformed so that we think as Christ thinks. Only then will we be able to prove to the world that Christ is living within us, that his holiness is transforming power in our life. We have allowed his spirit to transform us by his holiness, and then and only then are we able to live according to the perfect will of God. The temple of God must be holy, since our bodies are his temple, since he redeemed us by his blood, and since we owe our lives to him. We are to live in holiness so that we may glorify him in all our ways. We are not our own, for we have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must live in a manner that will bring honor and glory to him. The child of God values his life and his body as a priceless monument that witnesses to all unbelievers of the holiness of God in an unholy world. Moreover, we pray that the life of holiness that we live will cause unbelievers to desire to forsake their ungodly ways of living, to seek God in all their ways. Never did divine holiness appear more beautiful than that at the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. In his sacrificing of himself, he displayed once and for all his hatred for sin and his love for the sinner. Sin separates mankind from God, but Jesus' death made it possible for a person to be united again with God in the beauty of a sinless holiness. In the beauty of sinless holiness, the child of God must remember that God is holy, and that he therefore demands our separation from sin so that we may be dedicated to him. We should endeavor to serve him in the beauty of holiness by separating ourselves from all our ungodly deeds. If we allow God to change our heart, we will live so that we reflect his holiness to this world. Oh my God, what is holiness? I tell you, holiness unto the Lord our God. I pray that this lesson has been a tremendous blessing unto you as to what the word of the Lord said, even in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 7. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Holy in our spirit, holy in our behavior, holy in our attitude, holy in our conduct, and holiness in all matter of our life and our lifestyle unto the Lord our God. Because the Bible said, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So child of God, seek out the heart and the mind of God and the will of the Lord. Go back to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, and ask God if there's any of those things are operating in your life that God would take them out so that you can live a holy and a righteous life before the Lord our God. Father, we thank you for this wonderful lesson. We ask that you bless, Lord, each and every one of the hearers. Bless those that will listen to this, Lord, lesson, that they will, Lord, again be inspired to do your blessed will, to be holy even as you are holy. Help us. grace us, empower us through the Holy Ghost to live above sin and reproach in all matter of conversation and conduct and lifestyle, God, that it will bring glory unto your holy name. And Father, we thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Until we meet again, I pray that you have been blessed. As I always say, if you don't have it,